Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Listen with Other, because grown-ups need story time too.
The Legend of the Merry Milkmaids by Giles Booth. Episode 3, The Merry Milkmaids. Kate and Ian both awoke with a start. Wind rattled the windows and the lodge was now cold and dark. It sounded like someone was pounding on the door. Kate instinctively looked at her phone. 3:43. "You can hear that, right?" she said. "Yes." "Turn the light on." "I can't. Must be a power cut." Ian went downstairs to investigate. Kate heard Margate Louise call out from the turret room. "It's okay, you stay there, Louise. I think the power's out. Have you got a torch on your phone?" "My phone's dead." The banging noise rang out again. "Just stay there." There was a crash, and Margate Louise, dressed in tartan pyjamas, landed at Ian's feet on the ground floor. She let out a small whelp, shuddered, and then was perfectly still. Ian screamed. Kate stumbled towards them, unable to locate the torch button, using the dim light of her phone's lock screen to guide her. "Fuck, she okay?" she asked. I don't think so." Kate put her hand on Louisa's neck and felt a weak pulse. "She's alive. We need to get help." "I'm too drunk to drive," said Ian. "So am I." "No signal on my phone. I'll try upstairs." "Be careful." Kate held Margate Louisa's hand. "She's very cold. Shall I put the heating back on?" "I don't think it's going to work without electricity. Wrap her in a blanket," Ian called down. "No signal up here either. Guess the phone network's down. We can't leave her." Ian reappeared at the foot of the stairs. "I don't think we should move her either. Maybe I'll get a signal outside." He put on his coat and went into the back garden. Wind almost took his breath away. The moon and stars appeared intermittently between racing clouds. He shone his phone's torch on the garden and made his way up the path towards the stone. One bar of signal flickered on and then vanished. He tried dialing 999. No connection. "Any luck?" shouted Kate. "No, I have one bar, but it's gone." He started to climb the stone. It wasn't until he reached the very top and was silhouetted against the moonlit clouds that Kate realised what he was doing. "Ian, get down!" "I've got three bars. Hello, ambulance. Maltravers Lodge." "No, I don't know the postcode. Outside Stanton Maltravers. Someone's fallen downstairs. She looks bad. How long? Please, hurry. We've no power and she's getting very cold." "Get down." "I'm coming. Called an ambulance. They said they're very busy and short-staffed. Could be a couple of hours." "Fuck. Now, please, get down." Getting down, especially on a windy night, turned out to be a lot harder than getting up. Last time he'd been felled by the sound of a gunshot, but he didn't fancy taking a leap in the dark. "You might have to help me." "For fuck's sake, Ian. Look, I called an ambulance. Couldn't get any signal at all in the house." "Sorry, I'm just terrified. Something very bad's going to happen." Ian decided to try and get down from the stone without help. He knelt down and tried to find a foothold. He failed. Falling, he banged his head on the owl garden ornament. Kate ran to him and shook him. By the light of her phone, she could see blood streaming down his neck from a wound on the back of his head. She couldn't rouse him, but he still had a strong pulse. Kate wasn't sure if she should try to move him. She ran back inside and fetched a couple more coats to cover him. "At least an ambulance is coming," she told herself. Back in the lodge, Margate Louise was cold, but the pulse was still there. Although Kate herself was now freezing, she took her jumper off and covered Louise in it before wrapping a couple of blankets back round her. She found a hot water bottle in the cupboard under the sink, sheathed in a hand-knitted cosy. But the stove was electric, so she couldn't even boil a kettle. She dropped the hot water bottle on the stove and bashed the controls on the hob in frustration. She kept pacing between Louise at the foot of the stairs and Ian at the end of the garden. By 5 a.m. there was still no sign of the ambulance, but the wind had dropped. Kate decided to look for help. With great difficulty, she dragged Ian back inside the back door. She found a pad of paper and a pen in the kitchen and wrote a note saying, "Head injury in kitchen also," and left it with Louise. She left the front door on the latch and walked outside. She saw that a piece of wood had come loose from the roof and was banging against the house. The paramedics got here before she got back. Heaven knows what they'd think had happened. Some kind of bizarre attempted mass murder, probably. Kate started walking down the lane in the direction of the village. She walked for what seemed like an eternity and started to wonder if she was going round in circles. Then she heard a whirring sound. It was vaguely familiar. A sound she'd not heard for years. She couldn't quite place it. Something from childhood? Then she saw lights flickering through the hedgerows. A car. She ran towards them, waving her hands. It was not a car. It was a milk float. She stood before it and the whirring sound dropped in pitch as it stopped. She hadn't seen a milk float for years and wondered for a moment if she was hallucinating with the stress. "Help me, there's been an accident. Two accidents. I called an ambulance, but it's not come." There were two women in the cab of the milk float. The driver jumped out. "Whatever's the matter? Please help me. We're staying in the lodge. My friend fell downstairs and my husband fell in the garden. They're both unconscious." "Hop in. We'll come and see what we can do," said the driver. When Kate got in the cab, she saw the two women also had a child with them. "Budge up, Poppy, make room for the lady," said the other woman. "School holidays. We can't leave her on her own when we go out on the round. I wouldn't have Rose going out on her own, not in this weather." "No, of course not. Hello, Poppy. My name's Kate." Poppy blinked and said nothing. Rose started the milk float. "You know where the lodge is, Maltravers Lodge?" "Yes, my dear," said Rose. "It's on my round. Where do you think your milk comes from?" "Oh, of course." Kate had thought she'd walked for miles, but within 5 minutes she recognised a road sign she remembered was close to the lodge. A warm glow came from within the building. "Great, the power must be back on." Rose stopped the milk float. "You stay here, Poppy." The security light switched itself on as they walked up the short front path. But the front door knocker burnt Kate's hand as she touched it. "Stand back," shouted Rose, karate kicking the door open. Kate had not had time to explain that it was unlocked and it flew open. Flames filled the doorframe. Kate screamed and moved towards the door. Rose held her back. "They're both in there," she screamed. The flames were now engulfing the upper floor of the lodge. The roof started to catch. "Got a radio in the cab," said Rose. "Mobile reception's so bad around here, we can't rely on it. I'll call for help." Kate was too traumatised to thank her and Rose's companion moved her away from the house. "Can we get around the back?" "We need to move back, dear. Wait for the fire brigade. There's nothing we can do." Kate watched in horror as the turret started to burn, its pointed roof exposing a skeleton of beams before crashing down inside the house. The ambulance still hadn't appeared, but a fire engine arrived within a few minutes, followed by a police car not long after. Kate was led away into a police car by a young officer. "Best let the guys do their thing. How many people were inside?" "Two," sobbed Kate. "My husband and my best friend." "You were here for New Year?" "My birthday," said Kate before bursting into tears again. "Those guys are the best, honest. We might be out in the sticks, but they've saved so many people." "Are you open?" a lady in late middle age with a shopping trolley shouted round the door. "No, not yet. Tomorrow. We're just getting ready." "Oh, I see. Sorry to bother you." "Not at all. We'll be open at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Special opening. There'll be wine and cake and beer. Please join us," said Kate. "Thank you, my dear. I might just do that. It's so nice to have something open in the village. A bookshop and a pub. So clever." "Well, it's not really a pub. We're not doing food and we'll be keeping ours more like a shop. We're trying something new. More a beer shop and bookshop and a kind of micro pub. We're even publishing some of our own books. Local interest." The lady with the shopping trolley pointed at the pub sign, freshly repainted, its hinges oiled. "You're keeping the name, the Merry Milkmaids?" "Tradition," said Ian, emerging through the door to pass his wife a cup of tea. "I hate it when pub names change, and the legend of the Merry Milkmaids is very important to us, isn't it, love?" It is. A battered old Honda pulled up. Margate Louise got out with the aid of a walking stick, only now they called her Maltravers Louise. She opened the boot and waved at a large cardboard box. Hot off the press, give us a hand, Ian. Our first book, said Kate. Your first book, said Ian. What is it? Asked the lady. The Legend of the Merry Milkmaids, 2024 edition, said Louise, carrying the box inside. A mixture of fact and fiction. You should come and get a copy signed by the author tomorrow. I should be delighted, said the lady. It starts off with a bit of historical fiction about the old lord of the manor, and it ends with the fire at Maltravers Lodge. Do you remember that? Asked Kate. I certainly do. Are you? Yes, we three. I'm lucky to be alive, said Maltravers Louise. If the milk ladies hadn't found Kate and raised the alarm, and if Ian hadn't regained consciousness and dragged me out in the back garden, we'd not be here. And if I hadn't left the hob turned on, said Kate. Enough of that. We're all here now, said Ian. We are. We are indeed, said Louise. See you tomorrow then, at 3, said Kate. 3 o'clock, said the lady with the shopping trolley. The trio went inside and closed the door. The Legend of the Merry Milkmaids was written, read and mixed by Giles Booth. It's a GSB Radio Enterprises production.